Beyond the Stethoscope, the podcast for veterinarians, healthcare providers, and busy professionals who want actionable, implementable solutions surrounding work-life balance, accomplishing your goals, and living your dreams. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Demery.
We are here today in front of a live audience with Dr. Melanie Barham. Hi, Melanie. How are you today?
Hi. Hey, wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I couldn't be more excited than to get into this great conversation today. But for those of you, our amazing listeners who have signed up to receive the show notes, you'll get an email each week about the show that gets published on your favorite podcast platform where you're listening now, and you'll get an opportunity to become a member of the live audience absolutely for free. These free seats are space available and first come, first serve. And you can get all of the details at pauseconsulting.com/blog and sign up for the emails at pauseconsulting.com/show notes, which is all one word. For the live audience members, you're here today. You'll have an opportunity to submit your questions through the Q&A during the live recording, or you've emailed them to me in advance. And we have some great listener questions today. And the five questions segment of each show will be broadcast live to Facebook. And you can find that by searching Demery DVM, as in Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. So be sure to go smash that follow button so you're notified when we go live, and we'll have the link in the show notes for you as well. So without further delay, I'd like to introduce our guest today, Dr. Melanie Barham, to talk about how to struggle less and accomplish more. So welcome, Melanie.
Hey, yeah, thank you so much for having me. I hope that I can do this justice, but I feel like the past couple of years, if it's taught me anything, it's about hopefully struggling less.
Yes, absolutely. If nothing else, we will share our great tips, insights, and hacks about how to struggle less. And as many of you might already know, Dr. Melanie is the founder of the DVM Project, a company that supports veterinary professionals in their career development through courses, events, and coaching. Whether they're looking to make a career move or be more sustainable, the DVM Project provides ways to create a long-lasting, satisfying career in vet med. She's also one of the founders of the Global Veterinary Career Summit and is also the executive director of a national organization in Canada. And Melanie has two kids aged 2 and 7 and lives outside of Toronto, Canada with her husband and kids on their small farm. Welcome to the show, Melanie.
Thanks for having me.
Again, yes, for the third time. I'm just all about welcoming people today. Happy Tuesday. So just to jump in a little bit on this idea of struggling less and accomplishing more, is it possible to have work-life balance and at the same time accomplish an ambitious goal?
Well, so this is a good question. And I think that... And Angela, I'm really glad you asked it. And you probably have some great insights as someone who is a busy professional too. And I feel like, so I'm a mom, I have a fairly busy job. I just finished an MBA in sustainable commerce. And I also have a project management designation. So I did all of that when my children were very little, and then part of it through the pandemic. So as far as how to struggle less and achieve more, I think that part of it is recognizing that at times it is going to be hairy and a little bit messy, and it is going to feel a little bit out of control. But the things that I have had to learn sometimes the hard way is that it's really important to ask for help from the people around you, and that sometimes it's kind of a gift to have somebody ask you for help, and that they might enjoy that. They might enjoy having a way to help. It's sort of like, you know, when you go to somebody's house and you say, oh, can I help you with the dishes? Or can I help you with anything? And they say, oh no, I got it. And you're like, okay, I'll just stand here and I guess just do nothing and feel awkward and weird. Sometimes it's nice to be asked, and it's a way of including people. So I think that was a very important lesson for me. The other thing that I really had to learn was letting go of a lot of the things that did not matter, or that only mattered to people who don't matter to me per se, what other people think or what is supposed to be in a societal norm. I think we have to let go of some of those things in order to be able to achieve a big goal that you'd like to achieve. And I think maybe a good example of that is having like a perfectly tidy or clean house, or you know, that you have to throw the perfect birthday party or the perfect anything really for any part of your life, and that sometimes it being a bit messy or being a bit imperfect is almost better than, and sometimes makes people feel more comfortable than if it was absolutely perfect and it looked like you had every single part of your life together. So I don't know if that answers your question, Angela, but those are two things that came to my mind, particularly in the pandemic, of the things. Also, I mean, I feel like I also let go of constricting pants and like all sorts of things during the pandemic, you know?
Yes, we, you know, all of the pressures, right? We just sort of threw it all out the window, reorganized, regrouped, took a good hard look. And there's a couple of different ways that I love to frame this. And I would just so love to have this conversation with you, Melanie, because you really highlighted a lot of things. And essentially the answer is yes. Sometimes it all works out together. Sometimes it's super messy and difficult. And sometimes we just have to like reconnect with our either purpose or priorities. And you said two things that I really want to highlight for our listeners today, because I think they are hands down two of my favorite things as well. Number one, who can I enlist to help me with this, right? We can include others. We don't have to do it all ourselves. So that is such great, amazing tips and insights. And then the other question, which I think is the most important question on how to be more productive while stress less, what can I stop doing? What does not need to be done? And it's so hard, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we get tricked into thinking, and maybe we trick ourselves into thinking, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. And maybe you don't. I mean, maybe that's a limiting belief that we have to challenge and say, or maybe we just do it differently. Or the other question that someone asked me during the pandemic, this was a coach that I enlisted the help of to help me with health and fitness habits, was what would it look like if it was easy? So I was kind of struggling with doing fitness and, you know, eating healthy and stuff like that with everything going on. And so she asked me, what would it look like if it was easy? What are the bits that make things hard for you? And this was a nice example that really showcases rethinking how you might do things. So she said, like, what would it look like if it was easy for you to work out? And I was like, okay, well, I could probably just, maybe if I put instead of spending 20 minutes finding my shoes and finding my headphones and finding all these things, why don't I just have a little kit that's in my workout room that's always there? And for some hyper-organized people, they're probably thinking, duh, of course you would do that. But it really struck me that we could probably introduce lots of systems in our lives that make things easier for us that might seem a little weird. Like maybe it's weird to keep your runners, in your workout room, or maybe it's weird to, you know, have a bin, like we have in our house, for example, we have by the television, everybody takes off their socks in my family's house and by the television, and it's super annoying to have to pick them up. So I just put a bucket for the socks by the TV, and now I don't have to pick up socks anymore. So like, what could it do? What in your professional life or your personal life, what could you do to make it easier and throw away a societal norm? It's a little weird to have a box of socks by your TV, but it also saves me a bunch of time. So, and it makes me happier. So I feel like those are wins in my book, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I absolutely love the super simple, super tangible, you know, outside of the box, or in this case, I guess, inside of the box thinking about how do we just stop stressing over all these little things and really start to put more of these boundaries in place.
The other thing I want to say, go ahead. Back to something quickly. The other thing about enlisting help is that I realized as I grew as a leader, and I didn't always know this and I didn't always get this right, is that at the beginning, you think, I have to do it right to prove my worth and prove that I'm doing it right or that I know what I'm doing. And maybe that's true as a young leader, but as you grow and mature as a leader, and if you're called upon to lead a team, or even if it's just your family, I think the one thing that I've realized is that oftentimes the results and the outcomes and the journey is actually a lot richer when you enlist the help of others and get them to, and I can see you nodding a little bit, Angela, you know, that it's actually the outcomes are just so much greater and far better than I could have imagined when I've allowed other people to be part of the actions, and it's been more fun. It's been more, there's been better outcomes than I could have ever dreamed up even.
Yes. No, I agree wholeheartedly. And something that was really imperative, I guess, running for Congress, like whatever you think about any of these things in the world, like you have to figure out like how to 10X things while still accomplishing the goal. So you're like accomplishing more, spending less time, money, and energy. Like you have to really embody Pareto's principle, right? The 80-20 rule. 20% of the actions lead to 80% of the outcomes. And so a question that really served me in that realm was, how do I 10X my efforts here with no additional time, money, or energy spent? And that actually enabled us to have real-time polling data throughout the entire campaign for about $250 a month.
Wow. That's, I would love to know more about that. Tell me more.
So my answer is relentlessly ask yourself that question. How do I 10X my efforts without spending any more time, energy, or money? And whatever answer comes to you, as long as it's like ethical, moral, and not against the law, I highly recommend trying it. And just like, that's my little disclaimer there. I don't think anybody would ever do that, but just in case something crazy comes to mind, but really, you know, 10X those efforts, like without spending more time, money, and energy. And I mean, and basically I was able to pull in some real basic knowledge of statistics and say, okay, we're just going to leverage data, volunteers, and basic technology. Like that is it, and statistical principles. So
that's perfect. Yeah. And I think there's all kinds of little hacks if you kind of let go of the we should do this or we have to do this or I have to do this in order for it to be successful, because maybe you don't, or maybe it's worth trying. Sometimes it's a fail, but sometimes it is a win, and you've kind of let go of something that you didn't really need to be doing, or didn't bring you a lot of joy, or didn't bring you a lot of productivity, or didn't bring you any closer to the goals that you have. And yeah, so ultimately, even if it doesn't bring you a lot closer to your goal, if it's something you really didn't want to be doing, then you don't have to do it anymore, then great.
No, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that as well. And so a listener question that we did get in advance is, can I move more, or can I have more than one priority at a time and still move a dream forward?
Well, maybe that answer will be different for other people, but I feel like there's always multiple competing dreams or goals or things that you might want to move forward. And so sometimes I feel like in my life, like the one goal has moved forward and the other one has moved forward at a slower pace. Or I've decided I'm just not going to put any more effort into this goal at this time, but I'll come back to it. And so the focus, I think a lot of us are multi-focused and able to do that. And I also think that it's possible that having a singular focus might burn you out a little bit faster. Maybe it's good to have multiple foci because it stimulates your brain and stimulates your interest levels in different ways and different things. Sort of like the same way as if you focused only on your job and you didn't focus on the rest of your life, on being well, or on, you know, having leisure time or spending time with people you love. Those are all focuses in your life, and those have to be fed at different, they have to be fed in different ways, but they are all important, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you bring up two really cool things. Again, for me is, you know, we're whole people, we're human beings, right? So and at least in high performance, we talk around the five main areas of life. I've heard it, you know, broken out into 8 ways or 10 ways, but just very simply like health and your health, your physical health, your mental health, your wellness is like one area. Your financial health is another area. Your relationships. How often do we just say, oh, I have to work and throw out that important family dinner or that relationship focus? Then we've got, you know, our mission, our purpose, which oftentimes overlaps with our career or is our career, and then our spirit. So for some people, that's like spiritual. For some people, that's spending time in nature. Maybe that's your hobbies, what you do for fun, and how are you feeding that spirit? And so having a priority in each of the 5 areas And then recognizing that you might be pushing the gas pedal a little bit harder on one at any given time, and that there might be an ebb and flow to that, but definitely being mindful about how we're splitting our time and energy. And if it makes sense for you and you're doing well and you feel like you're vibrant and you're doing well in all those areas, then party on. If you're like, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, like start pulling back. What can I delete here? What doesn't need to be done by me or not right now? What can I park in the future to sort of say, maybe this isn't a right now thing, but I still think I have an interest. Park that 90 days in the future on your calendar and then see if it's something you still want to tackle then.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. It doesn't end. Yeah, and it's also okay to change your focus. And what I wanted to do and the work that I wanted to do in my job and the hobbies that I had 10 years ago are very different from what I am doing right now. And that's okay. I didn't realize that when I was a young veterinarian, that it was okay to change paths, and that, you know, I thought, oh, well, I made this plan and this is how it's going to be, but you have to be willing to change things. I mean, just like, you know, I don't necessarily enjoy clubbing anymore as much. Like I definitely don't go clubbing anymore, but that's okay. It's okay for me not to enjoy doing the things that I did when I was 18 years old, in the same way that I don't really feel the need to horse show anymore, but I still want to enjoy horses. And that's okay to change. And it's okay to decide on a different focus, even if you didn't complete or do things to the nth degree. I think that's still okay. I don't know if you agree. I know you're a performance coach, Angela. But
well, no, I do. It's okay for your interest to change. And I mean, for the longest time, felt so guilty that practice just wasn't for me. Private practice and being in a bureaucratic institution, whether it be government or academia or anything like that, that's just not who I am. It's not how I'm built. I don't excel there. I enjoy it for a lot of different reasons, but at the same time, like if I got really honest with myself, I'm like, this just isn't what I'm built for. And that was really guilt inducing because we see, you know, what's the picture of success in veterinary medicine? It's that private practice owner, somebody being that subject matter expert high up in government, you know, like who are the people you're looking up to? Who are your role models? And it can be very difficult when you're like, gosh, now what? Here I am, a veterinarian. But at the same time, my gosh, we have one of the most diverse professions that can embody so many different cool things. I know this is why you're so passionate about the DVM project as well, Melanie. And what you were saying, when you were saying all of this, it really reminded me of something. And it was reminding ourselves that what I do does not equal who I am. And that was something that took me a long time to learn.
Yeah. Having a lot of your self-worth tied up in what your job is, I don't want to say dangerous, but it's definitely, it can be challenging, because if that changes, or if all of a sudden you know, equine practice, we think about this all the time. If you break your leg and you can't practice anymore, then, and you have tied up all of your sense of self-worth in doing that one thing, then what are you? And you don't have, and you don't see yourself as any other value other than that, then A, how do you balance? How will you ever achieve any balance in your life or any kind of feeding the rest of yourself, because always it will all fall away for that one thing. And then also when it changes, and it will, there's times when it will change. Maybe you always will want to do that one thing, but probably the focus of it will change or your interests might change in it. And yeah, if you have your sense of self-worth tied up in this one thing and you're not curious about changing that belief, then that can be really hard, I think.
Oh yeah. I experienced that firsthand. I don't know if we've had this conversation before, Melanie, and some of our listeners may know this and others may not, but my whole identity was wrapped up in my job title even. And I was like, I am at the top of my career. I've achieved everything, everywhere I wanted to go, everything I wanted to do. And 2 weeks before my third and final service-connected surgery, my job was eliminated. And like, you want to talk about no choice, crashing down to the bottom. Like I was on crutches for 6 to 8 weeks. You know, I had back surgery, hip surgery. Like, I mean, there was back-to-back surgeries in 6 months, like I could not practice, I could not work. And the one job I was still capable of doing, even, you know, not physically capable at that time, I lost. And so I lost my job, I lost my income, I lost my stability, I lost my identity. And recognizing, wow, that is really not a fun place to be. So this is also why I'm so passionate about being a high performance coach, because it completely shifted my mindset. And I started asking like, hey, what can I still do? Where can I add value? For the first time in my entire life, and this might be a little sad, but it is true, I asked myself, what is it that I want to do with my life? And so like, just to inspire all of those listeners out there, like, hey, you know, wherever you are, you can always turn it around, change course. There's endless possibilities out there. And I really love this question because, yeah, we can move any dream forward. It's just where do you want to put your priority today?
Yeah, that's really great. And I think one thing I might want to add, and Angela, maybe you have some other tips for this too, but you know, if you're thinking, oh, I wonder if my identity is tied up in my job title, or how do I protect myself against that? I'd love to hear your insights on it too. But one thing that I felt like was quite important was identifying, like kind of introducing myself and not talking about my job and seeing how that felt. And, you know, instead of saying like, I'm Melanie Barham, veterinarian, or like, I'm a veterinarian, or that's the first, you know, usually in North America, that's the first thing that you ask somebody when you meet them. Oh, what do you do? Well, I like to kayak, or I keep bees. Like, you know, there's all sorts of other parts to you that are not to do with your job. And so it can be helpful to try that exercise out and just to see how it feels and see if that, and to see, you know, what it's like to be introduced as something else that's not to do with your job. I don't know if you have any other.
Yeah, super fun. I think it's really funny that you shared your hobbies, because one of my favorite questions to ask people, because I was like, I'm not going to ask people what do they do anymore. And so I really challenged myself when I was traveling the country talking to veterinarians. I said, my first question to folks was, what's your hobby? And I learned that veterinarians have the coolest, most diverse hobbies of anybody or profession I have ever met. And so I highly recommend that you test it out with your colleagues or just in your neighborhoods, you know, your community, and just see what interesting answers you get. Because anytime you're thinking, oh, I would love to learn more about X, Y, and Z, I'm sure you know somebody who it's their hobby, but we just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. And by the same token, if you ask yourself or you ask others, what do you like to do outside of work? And they don't have an answer. Yikes. It's a red flag for yourself. And it's a red flag. I remember asking I'll call it a vet crush. I was like just enamored with this veterinarian who I thought was just the best, the bee's knees, if you will, like just like super, super awesome. And I thought, I want to be like this person in every way. And then I had asked them like, what do you do outside of work? And they didn't have an answer. And I thought, oh, that's not good. But it was a really, and then I actually started questioning myself, like, whoa, I'm not sure that I want to be like exactly like this person. Maybe there's a way to redefine this or be different.
And with that same token, I 100% believe that you can both be the top of your game in any specialty, part of the practice, part of your career, and also have a full life outside of that. So I don't think it's one or the other. I think that it's a story I got as a veterinarian. I'm not sure where I picked it up or if it was something I made up on my own, but I just kind of want to put that out there because, you know, just for that listener that says, well, but I want to be the best. Well, it doesn't have to be at the expense of all else. And when we look at the most successful, like Fortune 50 CEOs, they have a robust life outside of work as well.
I think that's really true. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have to be. It actually might make you better at your job to do different things. Like, and I find I'm more creative when I'm doing a hobby or if I'm engaging my brain in a different way. So I do think it actually augments who you are to do that. And it makes you a better performer.
Yeah. Another listener question that we got today is, when do I know that it's time to quit a project? Sometimes knowing when to quit something is maybe harder than knowing when to start something.
Ooh, yeah. So this is a lesson that I've had to learn sadly many times, but so I'll share with you my hard-earned knowledge. So my guidelines are, okay, so I mean, number one, we're going to, if we take out of the equation that you need it to pay the bills, because I think obviously we're not going to be in a scenario where I'm going to recommend that everybody quit their jobs because it's a little bit uncomfortable. They don't love every second of it, because I think we all need something. Most of us need to pay the bills somehow. So take that out of the equation. So if you don't need it to pay the bills and it's something that doesn't bring you joy and doesn't bring you any closer to your big picture goals, if it's, you know, my husband and I also have this, we have this kind of ongoing discussion about opportunities, because there's lots of opportunities that come up for two working professionals, right? As parents and as partners. So in our professional lives, we get these opportunities that come up. So I often think, okay, is this moving me? If I look at my big picture values and where I want to be, you know, is this something that is going to bring me further away from that, or is it going to bring me closer to that? So, you know, maybe an example would be like, let's say that one of my goals was to be at home more often. Me accepting a volunteer position where I had to travel a lot is not going to bring me closer to that, even if it's the best opportunity in the world. Or if it's something that's going to take a lot of time without a lot of payoff, or the payoff will be a really long time, then maybe I would reevaluate whether or not that's important to me. And so that's kind of getting into the project. But then if you're in it and you find that it isn't a fit, you know, I think that we have this big feeling like, oh, I'm going to be letting the world down. It's going to be just so terrible if I say that I can't do it or that I'm quitting. But oftentimes I find that, you know, if you're explaining it and you're saying and you're sharing what you're up against and being honest about those things, and if you've been struggling with it, it's possible you haven't been performing your best either. So they may be better off to find somebody who's a better fit or who has more alignment with those goals. So sometimes it can be a gift to do that, a gift to yourself to alleviate that pressure, but also a gift to that organization that you might be serving or that project that you might be working on. And then I think the third thing that I always consider is, what's the risk to maybe my career or reputation if I'm quitting or deciding not to renew or something like that? So am I letting people down truly, or am I just telling myself that as a story?
Yeah. And a really great way to find that out is to pick up the phone and talk to some people, like some trusted mentors or folks that you feel like you might let down, but you really do care about their opinion, or your professional colleagues and it's important to you. And you're like, hey, it's my integrity, right? Because like for me, a value I have is integrity. And so my integrity of following through with things I say I'm going to do, that gets to be a real stressor too. And so I want to draw the attention for the listeners to two areas as well. Like if you check out the blog this week, it's pauseconsulting.com/blog. And I do have a nice schematic that I put together for New Year's goals around work-life balance. And it's like this really fun Venn diagram where, you know, the circle is the boundary, and where work and life overlap, that's called balance. And then I love to find these leverage points, which are the values. And so sometimes, to your point, Melanie, even just sharing a boundary, like if I'm unhappy or something's not a good fit, it might just be that a boundary of mine got pushed. And if I can communicate that boundary, a lot of times we can work it out and everybody can also work together to move something forward. Or like, hey, this just isn't for me anymore. Have those conversations and figure out how to unravel it in a way that, you know, meets all everybody's goals in some way.
I think, one example that I can really think of, I led a national committee for about 6 years, and my term was up, and they wanted me to continue to sit on the committee. And I thought, I was actually going on maternity leave. I was having my son. And I was like, I really can't, there's no 0% chance that I can lead calls and like, or be part of major calls with a newborn baby. So, you know, I called them up and I said, I love the work that we've done, but I don't think that I can commit to that. Because a boundary that I'm drawing is that I'm not going to take on extra opportunities at this point. Although I care deeply about the success of this committee, I don't think I can fulfill that. So they actually created a new way for me to be part of the committee as a like an outgoing person and just as a subject matter expert.
Yeah. So you never know what the opportunities are. I think sometimes that we hold ourselves back from having these really important conversations, where if we'd lean into having the uncomfortable conversation, we might be pleasantly surprised at the outcome as well. And I'm sitting here looking at my notes because I did write down a couple other things as we were chatting that I wanted to be sure to share. Oh, the next question that I wanted to ask you, because I promised our listeners today that I would share with them Parkinson's Law, which I'm really always talking about Pareto's principle and the 80-20 formula, but haven't really talked about Parkinson's Law. And I think, Melanie, whether you know this or not, you absolutely embodied the definition of it when you got a global summit together in just 3 short months. And Parkinson's Law basically says that any, and you may already know this, any project will expand to consume the time that it is allotted.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Did you want to talk a bit more about the principle or have a question? Did you have a question or?
Well, I just wanted to share with you the principle of Parkinson's Law and then share, like, what were your insights around getting that global summit up and running in only 3 months? Like, did you feel immense pressure? Like, were you super stressed? Or were you like, yeah, it just made us drill it down to the bare necessities. We did just the 20% of the activities that would yield the 80% of the outcomes. And it turned out we were probably more effective in less time and would have had the same level of stress had it gone on for a year or two. I don't know. Like, I'm just curious.
Well, that's a good question. I think, so yes and no. So we were a new group. It was a collaboration between 3 companies. So myself at the DVM project, Vetstego Diversify in the UK, and then veterinarycareers.com.au in Australia. And so we were just working together for the first time. So a lot of, I think, some of the systems thinking and the time savings and stuff that you get with a more mature organization, we didn't have. However, I do think that we tried to be as lean as possible because we were very much bootstrapping the whole conference and putting it together. To my knowledge, there hadn't been a global career conference for veterinarians or for veterinary professionals before that was put on virtually or maybe anywhere in the world. So we were really flying at it for the first time. So we were trying to do it pretty leanly because we are also under some pretty deep time crunches. So I think the part about asking for help was really important because our teams came together and people stepped up to because they believed in they aligned with the values of the conference and what we were trying to achieve. So people came from all over the place, people I'd never met before, from North America, from all over the world, and volunteered to help as both paid and unpaid people on our team. And that was part of the power of it, I think, that came together. So it was our job to manage and make sure that it all did come together and that we were project managing appropriately to get it done and aligning the vision of what we were supposed to be doing. But you're exactly right. A project will grow to the size. It's like a goldfish in a bowl. How big is it going to grow? Probably to the size of the bowl. So I think that, you can probably achieve almost anything in a short period of time if you choose to. But again, you have to choose to let go of some things. You have to, and maybe you do, you know, and then you'd look at it afterwards and think, maybe I do this differently or maybe I do that differently. But I also appreciate the value of what happened and the learning opportunities in that scenario too. So.
Yeah, super, super cool. I'm always curious because I've oftentimes found that, you know, even if we have more time, sometimes we just procrastinate. So we put ourselves in that pressure cooker situation and get her done about as well as you would have gotten it done anyway. So I find that fascinating. And then to learn that there's actually a law around that and like, you know, an actual principle in the world, I was like, yes, I just force myself to have shorter deadlines and don't have such a long runway for procrastination that way on it. And my last question for you today, Melanie, what is your favorite productivity hack? I know you're a project management professional. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so what's just your favorite sort of project management or productivity hack for all of us busy professionals?
So maybe I'll share two tools that I use all the time. So one of them is Calendly, which is where I book a lot of meetings through. So in my job in particular, there's a lot of booking meetings, and I think it can take up a lot of time to go back and forth with people. So having it hooked to your calendar is really handy. Even if you don't work in a situation where you can use that, if you're looking at it with family or you're looking at it to book after school activities and stuff, like, here's a link to our family calendar, book something in, and then it'll book something automatically, which is so great, right? And you don't have to think about it anymore. So that has been a big time saver for me. And then one other one, I have to give a shout out to our student who's graduated now. He's a graduated veterinarian, but he helped us with our social media. He was our social media manager at the DVM project for the past year before graduating and going on to his wonderful internship. So I'm going to give a shout out to Mac Burgoyne. And he shared with us Notion, which is a really cool tool to use to manage, you can use it to manage just about anything in your life. It isn't necessarily a project management tool, but it is a great way to have templates and have task lists and have a team together. So it's sort of like a project management tool. But so Mac sort of introduced it to our team for our social media management and our content management. But actually, he showed us how he was using it in his personal life for, you know, managing workouts or managing test dates and things like that. And I was just astounded. And I thought, wow, I feel very old, but I'm going to jump on this bandwagon. And I think it's so cool. It's really been super helpful. And so and it's free to use, which is great.
Super cool. I'll have to check out Notion. I also use Calendly. Yeah. And like real world tips, I always say, how do we add more time, automate, delegate, and delete things? By using Calendly and automating my grocery delivery, I saved 5 hours a week and rode my horse one more day a week.
Amazing.
Like, yeah. So when you say you don't have time for something, like super simple things that I'm like, wow, that's really tangible, right? Like using Calendly and just automating grocery delivery. I buy the same things every week. It's not that hard. Like,
yeah, I know. Amazing, right? Like all those little things that just take up time that you're wasting, you're repeating things. It can take a little bit to set up a template, or it can take a little bit to set up. But even so, Mac set up in Notion meeting templates. So looking at, yeah. So it comes with a to-do list. It comes with an action item list. It comes with a minutes area. And you're like, well, this is amazing. And it's all automated and it tags everybody in. And you're just like, this is incredible. So great. Saves us so much time.
Yes, absolutely. I'm all about the time savings there as well. And just want to also share for folks who are looking for making some of those decisions really quickly, you can go to pauseconsulting.com/5MIN decision. I have a great little like 5-question template logic tree. You can quickly run down it and just like evaluate opportunities in real time, which I found super helpful in my own life. And I know a lot of folks have too. And then Melanie, if people are interested in connecting with you or, you know, the DVM project, like where are all the great tools and tips and things they can find with you as well?
Oh, thank you. So the website is the DVM. So Dr. Veterinary Medicine Project.com. So the DVM Project.com. We are also, our handle across everything is the DVM Project. So LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And then if you're a veterinarian, a technician, so an RVT or an LVT, AHT, or a student, you can join our Facebook groups. So they are also there linked to that Facebook page. They're free to join. We just have to verify that you are one of those groups. And then we also publish a weekly blog and we post jobs and that type of thing too. So feel free to sign up for our mailing list, which is also on the DVM Project webpage too.
Awesome. Super cool. I highly recommend that everybody go take that action right now and get yourself involved and just be aware of what's going on here in the veterinary community. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, Melanie. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you for having me. And thanks everybody for listening.
That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Beyond the Stethoscope. I hope you are inspired to take actionable steps towards accomplishing your goals and living your dreams.